for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Morning, River. I should say family, family and friends. So obviously, let's get this out of the way. I'm not Rob. Just to get that right out of the way. And I'm glad to see everyone here today. And I'm really impressed that you sacrificed not running in the marathon today, that you decided to come here instead. That was a choice I had to make too. And they weren't running the point one, so I probably wouldn't have made it very far. So I'm going to be speaking today. I prefer to not say preaching, but it may turn into that. I'm more of a teacher. I enjoy teaching, and I love being here. This is my home church. We've been coming here, my wife and I, some of our kids and our grandchildren, for a couple of years now. We came from a church where we were helping to plant a church in Jackson, Michigan. And after a couple of years of driving back and forth, we said, you know, it's about time that, you know, we come back and stay in the Kalamazoo area. And we looked for a church that had an outward focus, that had a mission-driven, and not necessarily overseas, but in our local community. And so we bombed around, looked at different churches, and just couldn't find anything. We came here kind of on a fluke, really, and we sat pretty much where we sit every week, and which we talked about, I think, in the last couple of weeks, how we all tend to kind of go to the same place all the time, and we are those people. So we go sit over there, and I think 10 minutes in, maybe, if that, of listening to Rob, told my wife that, yeah, this is it. And we've been here ever since. We love it. I also am honored to be one of your elders. Sometimes you don't know who we are, but I get to be one of them. It's a great honor. It's been a short time, but I'm really starting to understand what that means. And I work with an incredible, incredible team of other elders that serve you and serve our pastors in this church. They pray for you. They hold you up in prayer. They love you, and yeah, they're great. They're awesome. Which is a little bit awkward because I'm an elder. I'm clapping here, so. But that's not the intent. So, been coming here for a while. I work at an organization, a local nonprofit called Urban Alliance, which I know some of you are. Let's just get it out now. Woo! Urban Alliance, we're a local nonprofit. We do ministry, street outreach, we do workforce development, we believe in transforming lives through relationships. A lot of you I know and I work with through a lot of different volunteering opportunities that you've taken. Even Pastor Rob has been a coach for us, so we love that the River is one of our partners. You can find out more by talking to me afterwards about Urban Alliance, or you can go to uainc.org. I didn't ask for permission to plug that, but I did. So uainc.org, Urban Alliance. So that's my day job. Rob asked me to speak today, and I'm careful, I don't want to lie in church. So I was excited, but it was one of those like, why me kind of things. But I said, yeah, okay. And I thought immediately, like, oh, I know this really good thing to teach about. Ooh, I could teach about the poor. And oh, I could teach about maybe Samson or some real powerful message. And then I thought, I better ask him. He's the pastor. What do you want me to teach on? And he said, yeah, John. Yeah, I know you're all shocked. Like, you mean the one in the New Testament? He was like, yeah, the one that we're not even close to get the decade-long series of John. So I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with that. And then he said, but John 3, 1 through 8. And I said, no, that's not fair. I'm thinking immediately because Rob usually preaches on a couple. Now he gave me 8, right? But then Rod spoke on 1, and he made a whole sermon out of it. So now I got this pressure. Like, I'm like, if I taught on 1, I'd be done right now. You'd be going home, and you'd probably be grateful for that. But we're going to speak on 8. So then I start reading through the 8, and I'm like, this is heavy. This is hard. This should be simple, and it's not. And then I got to verse 8, and I didn't understand it. I'm like, I don't get 8. I just don't get it. So I'm going to skip it because it didn't fit. And I said, I'm going to skip it. Rob's not going to be here. By the time he hears this on the podcast, I'll ask for forgiveness, not permission, right? Because that's easier. And then I kind of told him that's what I was going to do because I felt guilty. And he said, you know, well, I want you to really delve into it. So I really started digging into it, and I started studying hard, and I was listening to different podcasts and pastors and reading commentaries and reading the scripture, and I'm just like, oh, I'm not getting it. And then Rob told me what it meant, and I went, oh, okay, I got it now. So I said, okay, I'll throw that one in there. So it actually ends up being a very pivotal part of the entire lesson that we're going to get into. So Rob gets a little bit of credit for this sermon. So, but I'd like to pray first, so if you'd pray with me, I'd really appreciate that. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather, finally. Thank you for the trees that are blossoming, the flowers that are coming up. Thank you for the ability for us to actually enjoy your creation. We are blessed for that. We're blessed to be here today. Father, I ask that whatever words I speak, that they come from you. And I ask that whatever is heard, the people here hear what you want them to hear. And we ask that you just bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm very much about, I truly believe that everyone hears what they're supposed to hear. You know, I really think that if we polled everyone when you leave a church service, it's like, I don't remember him saying that, you know. But I think God really does want us to hear different things. I think that's just how it works. It's one of the mysteries, I think, of the Holy Spirit. But today, we're going to talk through John 3, 1 through 8. And right here in the Bible, it says, the headline is, Jesus Teaches Nicodemus. And we're going to switch it around a little bit, and it's going to be, actually, Nicodemus has an encounter with Jesus, because an encounter is a powerful thing, and we all need to have an encounter with Jesus. And so we're going to talk through what that means. I was talking to my sister, and if you knew my sister, you would understand what I'm going to tell you, because we all have relatives like her. And I said, you know, I'm going to be speaking. She goes, oh, what are you speaking on? I said, Nicodemus meets Jesus. And she goes, ah, oh, I love that story. And she started singing a song from when she was a little child, that Nicodemus was a wee little man. And I'm like, no, I don't think he was a wee little man. And I'm pretty sure he didn't climb up in a tree. So I had to clarify that. So we're going to talk about Nicodemus. And since I'm going to go with my sister semi-normal and say that maybe we don't know who Nicodemus is. So I want to just kind of give you some context of who is Nicodemus. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And if you've been in church at all, you know a Pharisee is a bad word, right? Pharisee, someone who's legalistic, someone who knows all the rules of the church, someone who follows all the rules, someone who is a church ruler, someone who is wealthy, someone who is powerful, someone who believes that the way to get to heaven is following every single rule all the way along the way, and that's how you get to heaven. You know, they ruled the Jewish community at that time. They were the ruling council. He actually belonged to the great Sanhedrin, 70 Sadducees and Pharisees that pretty much wrote the rules. He was all about the rules, all about doing everything the way it needed to be done. The Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. They believed in the afterlife. They believed in the spirit world. And they had to memorize the first 5 chapters of the Old Testament. Do we even know what those are? Let's see, I wrote it down because I didn't want to stress out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. How many of you have actually read those? How many of you are lying right now? Because most of us, I skip them. You know, I like Genesis. You know, Exodus, great stories. But you start getting into the Numbers, you know, who begat or what rule is what. You kind of flip through them. They don't apply, right? But they had to memorize those. So maybe some of us that are here right today could be very much like Nicodemus. We know stuff. We were raised in the church. We understand the Bible. We know the rules. Every church has its rules. Maybe we went to a church school or a church college, and we know what the rules are, and we have to follow those rules, and we think that those rules make us either A, better or holier than, and we focus on the external instead of maybe the internal. And do you know someone, like, are you pointing next at someone next to you? Is that what you... No, he wasn't pointing at you. No, I almost had a problem there. Do you guys know someone like that? Are any of you like that? Okay, you're going to be a tough crowd. I can see that. Nicodemus came to have a meeting with Jesus, an encounter with Jesus, because he wanted to learn something. And all of us can learn something from Jesus. So here we are, and I'm going to read all eight. I'm not going to skip seven. So listen up. So if you have your Bible, you can bring it up. It should come up on the screen. It's supposed to come up on the screen. But if it doesn't, I'm more than happy to just read it to you. So, oh, there it is. So we're going to go ahead and read this. How many of you have your fake Bibles, your electronic ones, like on your phone? Very nice. I'm going to read the real Bible. So here we go. I'm going to put my real glasses on, too, to make sure that I say it right. All right. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He's a big shot. And he came to Jesus at night, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform signs, the signs you are doing, if God were not with him." Jesus replied, and this is why I like my Bible, because it's red. When you know that when it's red, Jesus said it, so you got to really focus on that. So Jesus replied, and this is where it gets awkward too, because you don't want to read it out loud. You don't know what Jesus sounded like. So I don't want to try and sound like very, very truly. Yeah, I don't know. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Nick says, "Well, how can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born." And all the mothers in here hold their breath. And Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Now, we're going to break this down, so we don't have to remember that. We're going to break that down. Born again. So this is really a crucial part of our... You guys are really blurry. So this is a crucial part of our faith. Born again. Born again. Born again. Are you born again? Have you been born again? You know, kind of a terminology that can freak people out. Have you been born again? You know, and we all get kind of like, well, what does that mean? Born again is only used three times in the scripture. It's used twice in John and once in Peter. So not used a lot, but very powerful and important in what we believe, right? So we're going to go through that. So in the breakdown it is, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Well, first off, I want to point out, he recognized this big shot, recognized that Jesus came from God. It's kind of a big deal. And he came at night. So now you get into the whole theological, why did he come at night? And lots of commentators say that he came at night because he was afraid. He was afraid to be seen. He was embarrassed. He was ashamed. He thought he might get kicked out of the council. You know, he can't be seen with this rebel. I mean, Jesus was a rebel. You can't be seen with him, right? So he snuck around at night. I don't believe that. I think that in the previous chapter, Rob talked about how Jesus made a whip and cleared out the temple. I'm pretty sure Nicodemus was there and saw that. And I wonder if he had something in his heart that said, "And maybe I wish I'd done that. Like, I'm getting really curious, what is this guy all about?" And so he came at night. And why would he come at night if he wasn't afraid to be seen? Because in rabbinical studies, they usually study at night because at night it's quiet. It's a quiet time. This is during Passover. It's like a carnival. So Jerusalem swells from 500,000 people to 2 million to 3 million people. So he came at night when it was quiet. He could have a conversation. He could have intimate time. He came at a quiet place in a time of intimacy because he was open to change. He didn't want the distractions. He wanted to have a talk with Jesus. Now remember, Nicodemus thought in the old ways, which were the external acts, and not in the new ways, which are internal change. He had questions, and he came looking for answers. So Jesus answered him and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I really like that Jesus answered a question that wasn't asked. Now that kind of freaked you out, right? Have you ever had like someone just, like, "I didn't ask that question, but you gave me an answer"? Jesus knows what's in our heart. He knows what our questions are before we even ask them. In fact, he may know what our questions are. We may not even know what they are. But he asked that question without even being asked. He answered it. Nicodemus felt something was missing in his life, something that religion and power and wealth couldn't fill. He was looking for an answer. He was looking to find out what was going on. Why was there something missing? And when something's missing in your life, something in your life is just not there, go to Jesus for the answers. My wife taught little kids in Sunday school for a lot of years. And she would come home and she would say, you know what, we got these lessons, we're teaching. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about Noah, Zacchaeus, doesn't matter who we're talking about. Whenever she would ask one of the little kids, what's the answer? And they'd go, Jesus. Every time. It didn't matter what the answer was. You know, who made the ark? Jesus. You know, who did it? And they always answered Jesus. And you know what she would say? That's right. Jesus is always the answer. So little kids got it figured out. You know, we're trying to figure it out. Little kids got Jesus, Jesus. You know, they got it figured out and they're right. But born again, what does that mean? So let's talk through a scripture, scriptures, plural, because scripture always affirms and confirms scripture. It's kind of a cool thing about that. So born again, John 1, 12 through 13 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. When we jump up, 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. I want you to remember that, the word of God. Through the living and enduring, the everlasting word of God. And then we'll go right back to the beginning of John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus is the word. Scripture always confirms and affirms scripture. Okay? Jesus said the way to God was not through works or following rules, but a heart change, a spiritual birth. Probably rocked Nicodemus' world, because his whole life, he was probably older, probably about 6 foot, probably about 180. Probably had a nice beard, you know, a little bit grain thinning, but, and his whole life was, what do things look like? Are my robes clean? Did I follow the rules? Did I not work on the Sabbath? Did I, all these things. And then it rocked his world that they were saying, Jesus said, you may not go to heaven. Think about that, your whole life, you know you're going. You guys may not, but I am. And then all of a sudden Jesus went, you may not. That can change. I mean, his paradigm was shattered all of a sudden. Now he's scared. Now he's like, what? This doesn't make sense. So he responds and he says, how can a man be born again or born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Do you really think Nicodemus was asking that, or was he stalling? Or was he looking for clarification? Was he looking for a way out where everything I've done is still valid? You're not making sense. What's the point of that? You can push back on Jesus. How many of you are afraid to ask Jesus a question? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is our Savior. And Jesus is a rabbi, a teacher. I think it's okay to push back a little bit and ask some questions. God, Jesus, I don't get that. I don't understand that. Why did that person get sick? Why did that person die? Why don't I feel happy? You think it's okay to ask Jesus questions? You think you're going to offend Jesus by asking him a question? I mean, God created us. He knows we're curious beings. He would expect us to maybe not follow blindly, but to ask the questions and delve deeply into things so that they can understand and fully embrace the true faith that we need to have. So Jesus answered, most assuredly, that means for real, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Water is the physical birth. That's the first birth. We all know about water, right? First birth. When the water breaks, you got a baby coming. And then the Spirit And the spiritual birth is a second birth. So all you mothers can take a sigh right now. You're like, okay, that's good. So my wife and I went down to Shipshawana. Does anyone go down to Shipshawana? Okay, we're not marketing, market, shopping people. We went down for the food. We are food people. And we went down for the food. But we also like to learn the local history, things like that. And we went to a museum that was the anti-Baptist, which I thought was kind of weird, anti-Baptist. I'm still not sure, like, are they against Baptist? Or I wasn't sure. But we went to this museum, and they were teaching us about the religious rules and thoughts and processes of the Amish people and why they are simple, why they dress simply, why they live simply. And it's all so that they can keep the focus on God. But then I start thinking, how many times do the external acts get in the way of us really focusing on what we need to focus on the internal, because you're so worried about the external, how you're dressing, how you're acting, how you're all these different things. And we can lose touch that the real reality is that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because we're trying to impress what? Others. We want others to see how holy we are. We have an appearance that we think we need to keep up. So external, you're focusing on what it isn't, not on what it is. So Jesus said, and this is 8, okay, the one I almost threw out. Right? Can you delete that from the podcast thing? Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Hebrew word for wind is also used for spirit, or Spirit of God. So then it started clicking. Okay, got it. Born again in the Spirit causes change. The Spirit changes everything that it touches. Salvation is the act. Internal change is the result, which causes external effects. I watch a lot of TED Talks, and I know that if I repeat it again, that means it's really important. So I want you to listen. Salvation is the act. Internal change is the result. And that causes external effects. External, internal, external. So we got a video. We throw that up there. Of this. A wind turbine. What is that? That's wind that's blowing that you can't see. But it has external effects. Things are changing. It's blowing. It's changing. It's even causing energy from something that can't even be seen, but it can be harnessed. Like the wind turbine, unseen forces cause visible effects. And the unseen force, the wind, the spirit, causes things to move and to change. So let's put this into real life and give you some examples of when I have seen the wind or the spirit change people. I have a good friend named Esto. Esto was addicted to crack cocaine. Esto formed the Washington Street Boys. Esto was violent. Esto should have been dead or in prison. And then he was impacted by the Spirit. And it filled him. And it changed him. Now he's a pastor. Now he's a director of outreach. And I watch him on a daily basis have an impact, a spiritual impact on people. He changed. I got another one. Ituha Cloud. Yeah, you guys were here for that? I'm not going to be hip-hop rapping or anything, so don't worry about that. He won't teach me. Ituha, you heard his story. He was addicted to drugs. He was into crime. He was into just bad, bad things. Not anymore. Not anymore. He's an evangelist. He's an ordained minister. He's an incredible, loving father, a dedicated husband, a friend who's there whenever I reach out to him. He's a missionary. He's actually dragging me and my wife to the Native American reservations this summer so that we can minister to the least, the lost, and lonely. Incredible change. The wind, the Spirit went over his soul and changed him. Michael was a man. He went through our program, the Momentum program it's called, at Urban Alliance. He was homeless, struggling with addiction. He's working now. He's getting healthy. And I sat here one day and watched him walk up and get baptized right here at the river. Something swept over him. Something changed him. Something you couldn't see, but it had internal changes, caused external effects. Things happen. Well, maybe it's time for everyone in here to wrestle with this concept of born again. It's a big deal. You want to see the kingdom? Born again. That's what it requires, born again. It's not works. It's not how much money you tithe. It's not how many good things you do. It's not how many people you take care of. It's not how many times you come to church. It's a change on the inside. Being born again, being changed. Let me talk about the importance of this decision, because it's been brought home to me and my family, and some of my family's here today. So my father-in-law has, he has cancer, it's terminal. He's now with hospice, so he has approximately 6 months to live. He has an opportunity, if he hasn't already, to make a decision. God bless him. He can make it. Not that he has it already, but if he hadn't, he can. What a blessing. I got a brother-in-law. He almost died. He survived physically, but mentally, he's not where he's supposed to be. He's in a home right now, and they're going to see what the new normal is. This went basically from one day to the next. From one day, he had all of his mental facilities, till the next day, he can't make a proper decision. What about that? His body's alive. His mind is gone. He can't make a decision. He missed an opportunity to make a decision about this born again. And then my son, he's a nurse. He told me a story. He was went to the Chinese buffet, and he was not happy about it because he doesn't like the Chinese buffet. But he went anyways. And he looked over, and a gentleman had fallen into his food face first. And his wife was crying and trying to call 911. And my son went over and checked his vitals. No pulse, no respiration. My son weighs about 30 pounds, and he dragged this big guy to the floor and started to do CPR on him and saved his life. Incredible story. My son didn't stick around. He said he had milk in the car, so he wanted to get home. But but this person was given another opportunity. What if he hadn't? What if he had never made that choice? And he didn't know that he was going to be face down in Egg Foo Young, and that could have been his last breath, and he'd never get that opportunity to make that choice. None of us know what's going to happen. None of us know when we're going to get, when's the end of our life? We don't know. It could happen like that. We just don't know. It's not something you mess around with to go, should I, shouldn't I, should I wait? I'll wait till later. So maybe it's time for all of us to wrestle with the concept of being born again and question, have we had a personal connection, a real encounter with Jesus? So I'm going to do one scripture here, and it's not going to come up on the screen, and I'm betting two or three of you know what it is, and I don't care what version you say it from, but say it with me. It's John 3:16. Does anyone in here know John 3:16? I think half of the world knows John 3:16, so we're going to say it together, because if you don't, and then I forget it halfway through, I'm going to look stupid up here. So you guys are going to all say it with me, all right? John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? And what do you have to do? Believe." That sounds really, really complicated to me right now. I got to believe, oh yeah, and then I get everlasting life. I want you to think about that. It's time to think about it, because you don't know. You don't know what life has in store. If you are a visitor, please go to the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. We'd love to share that with you. If you're a regular attendee, and I'm all excited. This is the most exciting part for me. You ready? Please don't forget your joy box. My life is complete. But if you don't have joy, don't give. But if you get a little bit of joy later, you can give online. Okay? All right? And our prayer team is going to be up front, and they're here to pray with you and for you on anything you want, including this concept that you need to wrestle with, which is being born again. So I appreciate you coming out today. Have a blessed, incredible weekend. So.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.